in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 706. My name, as it is today, is Elisa Sheps, and I am joined by my kooky co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do when it rains on KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Freeze your brain, suck on that straw, get lost in the pain. Happiness comes when everything numbs. Who needs cocaine?
It is Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. On the show today, we have the Filigree Theater and their show Fire in Dreamland. Then we're going to be talking to someone on the phone from the Broadway Across America production of Aladdin. And then finally, we will have our very dear friends from Austin Shakespeare coming on, not talking about the fake thing, but talking about the real thing. And of course, we're going to have lovely discussions of the world of theater in New York, Boston, Schenectady, and Albany, because it's right next door. Stick around.
But the sky is gonna hurt when it falls, so you'd better start building some walls.
Sometimes I just can't really think of what to say at that point. You know, one day I'll just write things out ahead of time.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bun, yeah, dun, dun.
I think you did that before, and it doesn't flow.
We are here. And Nicole Shiro, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Yeah. That's the way
here.
I am too. Hey, listen, before we go any further,
yes.
I just need to thank Kim Simpson
Kim
for another
Simpson.
Wonderful international folk bazaar.
I know. We were all singing his praises in the lobby as we were listening
yep.
to
so,
Kim
Simpson. He's always amazing, and we
Spinning
love him to
the
death.
International folky bazaar-y stuff.
And let's talk about people that are going to be here joining us for our little convo about theater.
We got a lot going on.
We have Elizabeth. It's Elizabeth Newman. I wrote Elizabeth Goodman, and I'm going, I know that's not right. Elizabeth Newman, hi.
Hi there, how are you?
Fine,
I try to
you.
Be good. I
was trying to think of the association between Newman
know,
and Goodman, but
well,
I don't know where
I know
you
it,
were going.
It was a copy and paste error. And Kathleen Fletcher. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello, so excited to be here.
So excited to have you. And I think new to the show, Bruff Hansen.
How are you doing? Great to be
am
here.
Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yay!
Bruff.
Once again, I am right. So, oddly enough, I wrote this directly into the script in case I forgot, but we were not here last week.
No, we were not.
We were in the middle of Icepocalypse.
We were.
So how'd everybody...
Or Oakpocalypse, you could call it both.
Well, yeah, I don't call it Oakpocalypse because I have very few oak trees in my house.
Yeah.
My house would be Elm Cedarpocalypse and Ligustrumpocalypse. How'd everybody fare? How'd everybody do in the cold and ice? You guys from Filigree Theater were teching at
we
this
were.
Point.
We were. So I have to give a really big congratulations to the cast and crew and designers for Fire in Dreamland because... We had this wonderful tech schedule planned out, you know, from Saturday, load in, Sunday, write the cues, and we'd have tech rehearsals and dress rehearsals. But that changed with the falling limbs and the ice storm. And so our tech week turned into Saturday loading in, Sunday writing the lighting cues to cut to Thursday noon when we could all safely make it back into this space.
We are glad that you did. And
yes.
Did anybody sustain any damage to their homes? How'd we all do?
The house itself was good. The fence didn't fare so well, and some of the back porch furniture and some of the trees, but myself and my house itself.
Sounds like y'all were all good. Well, that's good. So voila, snowpocalypse or icepocalypse done. Oakpocalypse, whatever you want to call it.
It was scary. If you drive around town, there's so many, not just little branches down, but huge
big trees.
Trees
it's still everywhere today. I'm still like, whoa.
My neighborhood was crazy that way. There were big things over, and not that what this is what this radio show is about, but I maintain a trail. I take it upon myself to maintain a trail in my neighborhood, and I've got to get out there with my chainsaw.
Oh, I was about to say, but Lisa, you like to go out there with your
chainsaw. Getting out there with my
chainsaw. I mean, in some ways, it's a little exciting for you.
So
could write a musical about that.
Could. So
I think Lisa and her chainsaw.
So the song I played was called "Freeze Your Brain" from the Heathers.
The Heathers.
We like the Heathers. Yeah, never seen it.
Well, we like it though.
But anyway, Freeze Your Brain. Who even knew that was in that show?
Yeah.
And guess what it's about?
Freeze Ice Apocalypse.
No, it's about drinking an icy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew?
Brain freeze.
Not fun. We've got a jam-packed show today, so we have just like the littlest amount of time.
Then
to
let's
talk
blip
stuff.
Through all this news.
But let's just talk. The Grammys happened.
I know.
And we have we had like five really great contenders for Broadway show album.
I'm not surprised by the winner.
Not surprised either. I kind of would have liked to have maybe seen something else, but it was Into the Woods, the new 2022 version. Mm-hmm. And it might be because Sarah Bareilles was connected to it, and she's very known in the pop culture.
Probably. The orchestrations are very, it's a very different arrangement. It's very, very different than the other. So I got why. But yeah, it had the Sarah Bareilles. And she's been on my brain lately because I can't get enough of Girls 5 ever. It won't leave my head.
Okay, well, better you than me.
She's frozen in your brain.
Yeah, she's frozen,
in your brain.
Frozen my brain.
And then also in the Grammys, we I believe got our 18th EGOT.
Yes, that happened earlier in the day before the big broadcast, and that was so exciting. Miss Viola Davis,
so
awesome.
She did a book on tape. I guess I want to say a book on tape.
It's an
audio book. I still call them books on tape. Oh my God.
Me.
I'm so wrong. Best audiobook narration and storytelling for her memoir, Finding Me.
Isn't that even cooler when it's your memoir and not just like you did an audiobook, I got an EGOT, but it's like your story? Like,
so this was her first nomination for a Grammy and coincidentally her first win.
She's Viola Davis.
She had two Tonys, one Oscar and one Emmy Award. Tonys were for Fences and King Hedley II, which is also another August Wilson show. She was nominated for another August Wilson show. I can't remember what it was. She got the Emmy for How to Get Away with Moira.
Yes.
Which I did not watch. So
yeah, I tried.
Lisa and her chainsaw.
Lisa and her chainsaw.
Too close. Oh, she also got a... this is Oscar. She won an Oscar for Doubt and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. She was amazing in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
She's kind of amazing in everything.
She kind of is.
She really, really is.
So that's the Grammys.
Yeah, I loved her winning the EGOT. That started off the day. I was like, what a delightful Sunday.
So she's also, I believe, one of the few, if not the only Broadway-y person that won the EGOT without having won one of the awards as a producer. So she's a performer in all of her awards winningsness.
Yes.
Which usually people get stuff from as producer or other things.
Yes, I think that's how the Eminem got his one, because Eminem only has to get a Tony to get an EGOT, which mind boggles my brain.
I prefer peanut M&Ms.
So
I'm just saying.
Did you call him the Eminem?
Yeah, there's a lot of V. I like to put like V in front of things.
They'll add him to the new cast of characters for M&Ms.
Yes, there you go. No, there's no more characters. They took all them away.
They did.
Yes. It's now just a spokesperson, Maya Rudolph.
That we don't want to continue talking about candy. I like it. Let's talk about Pearly Victorious. There's going to be a revival of Pearly Victorious. The full title is Pearly Victorious, a non-Confederate romp through the cotton patch. Starring Mr. Leslie Odom Jr.
That's kind of exciting, isn't it?
This is written by Ossie Davis, and this is a revival. It was from 1961. This one will be directed by Kenny Leon, and of course...
which is also really exciting.
Exactly. And we've talked about Pearly, the musical, which is based on this play. And it looks like a lot of fun. And I have to... I rewatched the Hamilton... The Disney Plus Hamilton
version. Oh, you did?
Yeah, just amazing. And speaking of Leslie Odom Jr., but when this opens, this will be the first time Leslie Odom Jr. has been on Broadway since Hamilton.
Wow. Isn't that bananas?
That is bananas. I mean, that man has got so much talent.
Because he kept doing like 54 Below and all these different like cabarets, but he wasn't on, so he was in the eye all the time performing without being like on.
But he was been doing films.
He's been doing films. There was also a COVID thing that was in there.
Yes.
That thing that happened.
Unfamiliar.
Yeah.
I'll have to read up on it later. Pearly Victoria sounds like a lot of fun. Just checking the time to make sure we're doing good. I have to talk about the rehearsal club. When I'm surprised I had not heard of this place. So the rehearsal club was.
Are you
familiar with it, or did you just read the article
in
the Times?
But Stage Door was based on it.
Stage Door was based on it. So this was a home for young women. In 1913, it was started by Jane Harris Hall and the Episcopal deaconess. Oh, she's an Episcopal deaconess, and Jean Greer, who is the daughter of an Episcopal bishop. Bishop?
I was like, what is that?
Bishop. A bishop. Oh my God. bishop. I can't speak, and I do play chess. I don't really. But this is on West 53rd Street, John D. Rockefeller Jr. was a beneficiary. It opened in 1926. They took a couple of brownstones. Here's some of the people that lived in these here: Jane and Audrey Meadows, mm-hmm. Shirley Booth, Carol Burnett, Blythe Danner, Diane Keaton, Sandy Duncan, Kim Cattrall, Cynthia Darlow, who is Joel Mazel's secretary and Mrs. Mazel. It really amazing. And so what I didn't understand was I didn't know about this place. But it closed in 1979, and I moved to New York in 77. So it has been reopened.
Isn't that cool?
I just have to show this.
I lived in a women's residence arts
Chicago.
Club. Yeah, yeah, like this.
So this is Carol Burnett.
Oh my God.
Who stayed there as well. There's a lovely picture. You can see it by going to offstageonair.com and clicking the link to the New York Times article. They had 40 residents at a time. This is here's a little photograph of it back in the day. So they've opened another one in the what's the name of it? I forgot the name of there's an apartment building. They've taken over some, I think, 20 apartments, and the rate for actors to live there, or it's not only performers, it's also opened up to designers,
it is artists, gendered dancers.
It is women only. I don't know where they sit on non-binary, but I guess if you identify as female, you can apply. But you have to, now they have to audition because there's just too many people. So there is an audition process. And they get, it comes to $1,000 a month, which is great for Midtown Manhattan.
Amazing.
Are you kidding? But they said that the organization pays the other $1,700. So $2,700 a month in Midtown Manhattan doesn't sound terrible to me, but I think it's a roommate situation. So I'm guessing it's like half of that.
But I think they get breakfast and dinner too.
They get two meals.
I was
meals.
About to say, you get meals, you have rehearsal spaces, you have artist studios, you have like a library area. It was one of the best experiences I ever had in my life.
Yep.
So to be in a creative space like that.
And that's what they say. They talk to some of the young women that are living there now and talk about how great it is to hear people warming
and
up.
And I figured out how to sneak a boy in.
Good. So I'm just going to read this about, this is the new one. So in 2005, Kathleen Corney, Connery, not you. A singer and dancer whose credits include Broadway shows and national tours, was asked to direct a summer stock production of Stage Door, New Hampshire. Miss Connery, now 75, could have certainly drawn on her own experience in staging the show. She moved to New York from Cleveland right out of high school in 1966 to pursue a performing career and settled into a double room on the fourth floor of the rehearsal club. But I felt I needed more fodder, said Miss Corey, who put the word out through Actors Equity that she was looking to meet with alums. Bottom line is they did sort of a course length thing. They just started getting together talking. Mm-hmm. And instead of creating art, they created a home. And I just think it's pretty amazing that that's back.
It's fantastical. It's fantastical. What it is.
So the last thing that we have time to talk about, I just want to bring this up. We're talking about the non-binary actor who,
from Anne Juliet.
Yeah. Justin Davis Sullivan. They took a pass for being, included in the Tony nominations, because the Tony Awards, like the Emmys and the, there's one more, continues to have gendered categories. The Outer Critics Circle Awards just took gender out. Mm-hmm. The Grammys took them out some time ago.
Grammys did a while.
And then the Tonys are going, well, we're thinking about changing with the times.
I was about to say, don't they keep telling us how they're thinking about it?
They're thinking about it. They just can't figure out a way to do it. But interestingly enough, I did not know this happened. So this happened once before. Asia Kate Dillon, who played Malcolm in a production of Macbeth last season, did not become asked to not be a Tony nom for that reason, but they did not publicize it. They did not tell anybody about it, which I think is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And then we do have J. Harrison Gee, former guest on our show.
Let me wear the kinky boots. That yep. Lola.
Identifies as non-binary and is going to accept a nomination in the actor category of the Tonys. I kind of wish that they opted not to, mm-hmm. because they've got name recognition that the mm-hmm. this other person doesn't have. I think yeah. it would have made a much better statement. But I think they're a real contender for the.
I was about to say, I think they might really be the winner. So that's a, you know.
Okay. We don't have time for anything else. Nothing else. But just like for a show of hands, who approves of La La Land the musical coming to Broadway? Anybody?
Apparently that's a...
Nobody in this room.
I mean, I haven't actually seen the movie. I haven't even seen the movie, but...
Well, I am one that did not hate the movie. A lot of people did, but I just don't think it should be a Broadway
musical. No, it doesn't need to be.
Just to bring in the Oscars for a second, I would be curious what the reaction is around the Tonys and Best Tony Musical of the Year. What happens there?
And
deep cut back to when Moonlight won and La La Land was accidentally announced.
Oh, if we do that again?
Deep cut. Yep.
Let's do it. That is a deep cut. Well, thinking of Into the Woods, let's hear a little piece of it, of On the Steps of the Palace, my wonderful Philippa Sue, you know, because I just saw Hamilton again. So we will listen to Philippa Sue singing On the Steps of the Palace. We'll be right back.
Better stop and take stock while you're standing here stuck on the steps of the palace.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. It is a gloomy day here in Austin, Texas. And I did sort of say earlier before we went on the air that I was going to do the show like Eeyore.
Yeah, but you didn't.
We'll throw you a birthday party.
Yeah!
Love that. Actually, Co-op is going to be supporting Co-op's
Eeyore's birthday.
Yep, this year. So let's jump right into Filigree Theater and officially welcome you on as a theater company in your show Fire in Dreamland. And I'm going to reintroduce Elizabeth Newman, who is the artistic director of Filigree, the founder of Filigree, and the director of this piece.
I am. Thank you.
Excellent. And two of the performers, Kathleen Fletcher. Hi, Kathleen.
Boop, boop, boop. Hey.
And Bruff Hansen.
Hello, hello.
All right. So your show, Fire in Dreamland, what's it about? Tell us about it.
So It takes place in New York, in Coney Island, 10 years ago, just after Superstorm Sandy. That's a good warm-up line.
Yes, that's good. That's what we use in our
woman,
school.
A young woman, yeah, Superstorm Sandy. A young woman named Kate encounters this enigmatic, charismatic filmmaker who is obsessed with making a film about another disaster that happened on Coney Island 100 years prior, where the Dreamland part of Coney Island burned to the ground. And things happen, and as she's sucked into the vortex of his creative energy, we learn that all is not what it seems to be.
Ooh, sounds fascinating. Yes. So who is this written by?
Rinna Groff.
Rinna Groff. And is this a world premiere? Or is this,
it is not.
Because I have not heard of it before, and if I haven't heard of it, it didn't exist.
Right. Well, in our world, no. It was at the Public 5 years ago.
Heard of that place?
Yes, you know, a little theater in New York, which I actually had the opportunity to see, but then, you know, put it out of my mind.
Because you were living there at the time, weren't you?
No, I was here. I've been here for 10 years.
Oh, my God. Is that true? I remember when you first got here.
I know.
Oh, that's crazy. Yes. Okay, sorry.
But I was back home in New York.
Yeah, we get older. I know.
But yeah, so Rinna Groff, and she's great. I have, many moons ago, produced the West Coast premiere of her play, Orange, Lemon, Egg, Canary, which was a play about magic and illusion. And
oranges and eggs.
Yes, but of course nobody ever could get
the
name straight.
Don't forget the canary.
Right. It was called A Trick in Four. It's actually from a magician's trick where you open an orange, there's a lemon, you open a lemon, there's an egg, you crack the egg, a canary flies out. But no one could ever remember. They're like, what's that orange lemon chicken? Yeah. Like, orange, like, you know, sound like they're ordering.
She's a
wonderful playwright.
So we have, we are sitting here in the studio, a room of five people that are all either New Yorkers or ex-New Yorkers. How many of us have actually been to Coney Island?
Oh my God.
Everybody.
Amazing.
Really, yeah, as a child.
As an adult, many times, and I'm a bit of a New York history nerd, and so this show for me is like, oh my God, all this New York history. I could talk to you about it for hours, and I do talk about it for a long time in the show.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
When I moved to New York in 1977, I had a job on the top of the World Trade Center in the observation deck, and Slosh and Hamburgers, it had just opened up, and Bunny Johnston and Victa all went to Coney Island together. I had just moved to New York.
It was I gotta go.
It was crazy. I had a great time. So I think that's amazing. It was really fun to find this out. Kathleen, tell us about your character.
Ooh, I'd love to. Kate is a woman with a lot of dreams and is going through a great deal of heartache, and I think is in a place where she feels a little bit immovable. There's like a real sadness that's deep in her, and I think some of what she's looking for is a chance to escape, and going into someone else's dream is sometimes a lot easier than trying to find your own.
Yeah. God. Wow. Very well said.
Thank you. Well, I talk during the show. I think about this.
You can't see it because the video isn't available yet, but Elizabeth just gave a very enthusiastic thumbs up.
Harsh, yeah.
Good job,
that's
actor.
How I direct, too. Yeah. She's all thumbs up.
Keep it up.
Yeah.
You so said
I
have, the thing.
So when I direct, I just sit here and I have my thumbs and I just go, I keep moving it and the actors
it's
have
the
to
Roman
figure
thing.
Out what I mean.
Exactly.
It's the Roman Colosseum.
Yeah. Thumbs down.
You're like a personal, did he like it or did they like it? Didn't they?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Except mine moves. Mine's like the marketing, the market research thing.
Virtual.
You just sort of suck. Bruff, who are you playing?
I'm playing what was the word you used?
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic. vaguely European filmmaker who is in America to create his magnum opus, right? Yeah, the magnum opus, his great film, his great vision. I don't want to give too much away. He's extremely charismatic. He's very complicated. And I might need to just leave it at that. Because every maybe spoilery.
In the script, it does say that he is Dutch.
He is technically Dutch.
But that's actually never said in the, that's correct. Just in the yes. character
and the characters.
So you'd never know that.
Yeah.
I do want to throw something out too. Just so we've had some audiences, and I think part of why I'm also reticent to say anything is one of the great joys has been hearing the audience's audible reactions to mm-hmm. things and being like, oh, what? Mm, whoa. And ha, 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 whoop. And so I want everybody to be a,
I
you
want
know.
You to repeat what you just yeah. said.
I can do that.
It's actually just Kathleen is like the track underneath. Yeah. The
so well, that brings me to the fact that you guys did open last week.
We did.
Yes. We did. And you are playing at the Factory on 5th.
Yes.
I must confess, I am unaware of this place.
We are the first theatrical production to go up there, I believe.
Ooh. Okay. Ah, where on 5th cool. is it?
It's on East 5th. Between Pleasant Valley and Springdale.
Oh, okay.
It's next I know exactly to where that Cloud is. Tree Art Gallery.
You're very close to a little place called Ground Floor Theater.
I was going to say.
I wave high every time. We drive.
Oh, that's amazing. So I had, in my mind, I had you further west on 5th, but I love that. So
yeah,
that
it's
makes
a really
it
cool venue
much
too.
easier to go see. Well, I want to. We're going to give our audience a little taste of this, aren't we?
Yes.
So does this scene need to be set up at all?
Ooh.
It's Kate and y'all.
I don't know how to set up this scene.
I mean, yes.
Well, why don't we just listen to it and we'll have a Q&A afterwards.
Absolutely. I love that idea.
I'm going to just... talking about a film. Yop is showing something very important to Kate.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. She's just seen a clip of his mm-hmm. part of
Excellent.
His film. Okay.
So this is Kathleen Fletcher and Brof Hansen of Filigree Theater's Fire in Dreamland.
But... isn't the lion supposed to be black?
Ah, CGI.
CGI.
It is not even so expensive anymore. There are young people in India who are quite good. You have to imagine, we add sound. I have very nice sound. And flames to surround him, to correctly black him with his flaming mane of fire, to make a teasing. I show this teasing on YouTube for contributions because the school does not provide me the support I need to make the film I need to make. Don't you think?
I have absolutely no idea how funding for this sort of thing is supposed to work.
Not about the funding, about the film. I have been trying very hard to prove this to you.
I don't think you were doing all of this for me.
May I call you later?
You don't have a working phone.
Lance lets me borrow his phone.
Doesn't Lance need his phone?
Don't worry about Lance. Lance is young and rich. There is a very thick net of netting to catch Lance. Worry about me.
You're the one who walked out on me, not the other way around.
I did not walk out on you.
Yes, you did. You literally... there is the literal door you walked out of.
But that is only the literal door, as you say.
What?
In the true metaphor, I never leave for a moment out of any door.
Okay, I'm done talking about the door.
I am also done talking about the door. I am talking about the film, and I realize that, as you say, we do not as of yet know how the film must end.
But you do know. All that footage on there, that's exactly the ending you described.
The ending for the teasing. For the whole, it is yet to be discovered.
Oh, man, is this a language issue?
These are not the right words?
I don't know, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you know. There is still something to be discovered here. Here. Don't say you don't know.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It's called a teaser. It's not teasing. Stop saying teasing. The thing you're trying to make here is a teaser.
Teaser.
Oh my god.
Teaser.
Does that make sense that we're doing a teaser for this show?
I got it. I actually wrote down teasing on my page here. That's where I was going to go. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, these guys
sounds like a lot of fun. And I love the ambiguous accent.
Thank
oh
you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Amazing. It's like,
thank you.
I'd say that's Dutch.
Why not?
What the hell? So there's another performer, right? Isn't this a three-person show?
Yes.
Who else is in this?
The third wonderful cast member is Alan Portery, who plays a young filmmaker, Lance.
Lance.
Who comes
He's
in.
Rich.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
Has,
exactly.
has a thick net of netting to catch Lance.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. So, as you said, you had opened, and you've just got one more. We've just got one more weekend, right?
I
Is
know.
That correct?
I do, yes.
Oh, sadly. That's very sad.
Yeah, Thursday through Sunday.
At the Factory on 5th, which I just love. And tell me where folks can go to get more information about this show.
Sure. Information can be found on the Filigree Theater website. And
what's that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can tell folks, so I have it written down.
It's Filigree Theater, spelled with an R-E. com.
All right, you don't have to say that to our audience, but I appreciate it. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming on the show. I hope I can get over to see it, although I may not, actually, now that I think about my schedule this weekend, but it's crazy. But have a great cozy day, and maybe you should extend a week for me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would do that. I'll show up at your place.
Okay, well, actually, we'll just do it right here, for you.
You could move it to Ground Floor Theater.
Was about to be like, I mean, I know a theater.
Come on by, you can do it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
That was Elizabeth Newman, Baroff Hansen, and Kathleen Fletcher of Filigree Theater's Fire in Dreamland at the Factory on 5th. Plays now through the 12th of February. For more information, filigreetheater.com. And this is a song called Coney Island from The It Girl. We'll be right back.
Excellent.
Come where you'll be able to hear Coney Island tonight.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa Sheps.
And me, Nicole Shiro.
That was a wonderful, we had just such a wonderful conversation with them.
What a quirky, fun show. It's intriguing.
Quirky, kooky, fun.
So has me intrigued.
Yeah, me too. So we are lucky right now to have one of the actors from Broadway Across America's production of Aladdin on the line right now.
Dun, 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 dun.
And oh boy, you Who told me have? How to pronounce your name, and my mind is already gone, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. Anand Nagraj.
Very good.
Very good or very close?
Nagraj, hi.
Okay. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for being on. This is exciting.
Welcome to Offstage and On the Air. So you are playing Jafar in Aladdin.
Disney's Aladdin.
In case you didn't know, I thought I'd tell you.
Wow. Glad I got that info for tonight.
Yeah, and you're doing a great job. So here's the deal. I have never seen Aladdin in any form at all, not the Disney animated thing. And I started to read up on it today, and I decided not to, because I'm going to come and see you on the 14th, and I want to be an open book. So for people like me, tell me about this show.
Great. It's our show is based on a classic Disney animated feature from 1992, from my youth, and I did see it many, many times back in the day. And it's the story of our title character, Aladdin, who is a guy in the fictional land of Agrabah. He's down on his luck. He's a thief. And he stumbles across a fantastic opportunity to change his life around. And hilarity and adventure ensues.
I love it when things ensue, generally speaking. And you play the villain.
I do.
How's that?
You can tell by my evilish laugh.
Maniacal laugh.
How are you? Do you enjoy that? Do you like playing the villain? It seems to me like a really kind of fun role to play.
It's so much fun. You know, the Disney villains are their own iconography, and they're all so cool. So to get to play Jafar is just a dream come true. You know, not that I have any evil, maniacal intentions myself, but
why not? but it's just from
it's
a theatrical.
So much fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it allows you to do those things that you wouldn't
outside
do
of the box. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to seeing this show, and I know it's going to be very, very popular here in Austin. Have you been to Austin before?
I have never been to Austin before, Ooh. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
What are you looking forward to here?
I'm open to any and all recommendations. You know, I've always heard that the music scene there is really great.
That's what they say.
I love to experience cities that are new to me through food. So I'm just ready to be there.
We've got the music and the food.
Well, now you've spent some time in Chicago, haven't you?
I have. That's where I call home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we know a little bit about music and food there, too.
Yes, I was about to say, Lisa and I both have lived there, and we both know there's some music and food to be had in the Chi-Town.
Well, I will tell you one thing. When you come here looking for food, you're not going to find any hot Italian sauce. Hot Italian beef here. Worth eating, but we do have really wonderful breakfast tacos and barbecue, amongst other things.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Well, that is awesome. Give me a little bit about, and I just, since I have not seen the show, don't know anything about it, is it like lots of action from the, we have a flying carpet, don't we?
That you know, spoiler alert, there is a carpet that flies. it's for those who are familiar with the original animated feature from the 90s, you'll hear all of the music that you are familiar with, but there's also an equal amount of songs that you will have never heard before if you are not familiar with the stage show. So there's stuff that you will be familiar with. There's stuff that you will be new to you. There's magic. There is.
I'd say there's a lot of razzmatazz. Laughs. Wouldn't you say there's a lot of razzmatazz in this show?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, don't go costumes. Getting technical on us. So I understand there's like three of the songs were cut from the original film and are in the stage play. Is that correct?
There's one number that comes to mind particularly called "Proud of Your Boy."
Yeah.
That is a song that Aladdin sings towards the top of the show, and that's always front of mind for me because I'm standing in the wings waiting to make my next entrance, so I get to watch him sing that every night. And
it's a great song.
It's this beautiful song that Aladdin sings to his mother, who is recently deceased. And it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous song, and you know, a real treat if for those who are not familiar with the stage show. But you will not be familiar with it from the film, but it's a gorgeous part of our show. Yeah,
awesome. Well, we are so looking forward to having you here in Austin. The show itself opens on the 14th, just a week from now. Where are you in the world right even as we speak?
Right now, I am speaking to you from San Antonio, so just up the road.
You just have to go up the highway there.
Take a little walk on the river walk in the rain today.
I will.
Well, Anand, thank you.
Thank you so much.
So much for being on the show, and I am looking forward to seeing you in person.
Excellent. I will see you all next week. Can't wait to be in Austin.
We'll do great. Well, you have a great rest of your time in San Antonio. We'll see you here in Austin.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye, okay. Everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
That was Anand Nagrav, Broadway Across America's production of Aladdin, playing December 14th through the 19th.
February.
I said December.
Yeah.
I put a one in front of the two. February 14th through 19th. For more information, austin.broadway.com. And if this got queued up, we're going to hear a little bit of this character singing Diamond in the Rough. Here it is. We'll be right back.
You just don't know how swell you are.
You just don't know how swell you are.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. Oh, my God. I am so looking forward to seeing
now
Aladdin.
Now I have Proud of Your Boy in my head, which is not a bad thing because the songs from Aladdin are just really awesome sauce, too.
Have you seen it before?
I have.
You have. You see
it's magical.
In New York City?
In the New York City.
Oh, and you took your niece, did you not?
I'd like to take Morgan's to those
You took
things.
Morgan to that, yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, so
It's spectacular. I'd go see it 500 times.
I am looking forward to it. So we're going to jump right into our next guests.
Jam-packed hour of fun.
Our co-host.
Our co-host
Ms.
is back.
Ms. Anne Ciccolella is here. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Thanks
Hello.
So much for having us.
And Grant Goodman, newcomer to the show, correct?
Yes. Newcomer Good. To Austin. First
newcomer
time.
To Austin. Amazing. Well, we'll have to get into that as well. And y'all are here for Austin Shakespeare's production of Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing.
The Real Thing.
Real Thing that Tom Stoppard. I remembered when this opened in, I think, 1980, 81, 82, somewhere
yeah. mm-hmm.
there in New York.
And it came back later.
And it came back later.
With Cynthia Nixon and all that.
Correct. And speaking of Cynthia Nixon, this has nothing to do with the show, but it was during this show that she was running. She did two shows at the same time.
Oh, when she was running for office, right?
Not when she was running for office. This was a long time ago. She was in the Real Thing. And she was also in Hurley Burley.
That's right.
And she would go. She would go back and forth, and she was only able to be in the curtain call for one of them, I think.
I think that might have been later. Meaning, I think her first time, I think she played Debbie in the first production, like the teenager. And then when they did it again 10 years later, she played
different. Yeah, I was like, she was in it. That's why I got confused. I'm like, wait, because she was in it twice.
She's in it twice. Well, Anne, tell us about the show, The Real Thing. What is it?
It's so fun.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
You know, I love the term theater of ideas, but this play is referred to as a comedy of ideas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tom Stoppard is very heady, and Austin Shakespeare, as you know, loves the language.
Of course.
And we have lots of Stoppard fans who come see The Invention of Love, and, you know, this is our fourth Tom Stoppard.
I was like, it's your fourth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. So it's really about marriage and love and fidelity and infidelity and comedy. I mean, it's really great.
And well, aren't marriage, love, and infidelity just a comedy?
It's set across the pond, is it not?
Well, we're doing a British accent, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're doing it in the period it was written, 1982, which is not necessarily when it gets done generally. Right. But I thought it'd be fun, and it has lots of fun music referred to. Grant, tell them some of the songs that your character likes.
Oh, well, he likes Herman Hermits.
Well, who doesn't like Herman's Hermits?
And the Everly Brothers and the Andrews Sisters. But there's a little Procol Harum in there. Pink Floyd gets a shout out. We get some Monkees at the end. So he's a little old school.
He was like doing the old school for 1981. Right. He was already there. Tell us about your character.
I play Henry. He's a playwright and a screenwriter. And at the beginning of the play, he's married to Charlotte. And things are not going so well. Their marriage is a little on the rocks. It's a little George and Martha. There's a little Private Lives shout out in there. There are a little Charles and Amanda at the beginning of the play. And you find out slowly that he's having an affair with Annie. And he leaves Charlotte for Annie. And they shack up together. And then things start to get a little rocky with them, and you begin to question, what is the real thing? What is the real thing in love? What is the real thing in life, politics, religion? It's all in there, of course.
So Grant is a guest artist for us. He's come from all over.
Yeah. From all over. Yeah, I saw your resume.
Yeah.
A lot of Darko Trajniak.
Yes. Yes. 10 shows with Darko.
Yeah.
That's amazing. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. He's fantastic. He's one of the best directors I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't worked with me yet.
Aha!
We met Darko.
We did meet Mark Darko.
We just met him when he was at the Noir at the Alley.
Oh, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
Well, and of course we have some local actors. Mm-hmm. Gwen Kelso's playing his first wife, Charlotte. And Kate Glasheen, who's the head of acting at Texas State, is playing Annie.
Oh, that is amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I've always had a misconception. In my mind, this was a... And I think maybe I had it confused with Betrayal, which I think opened around the same time. I keep thinking it's a three-person play, but it's not. There's a bunch, eight, right?
There's a good handful.
Yeah. So this is the limits of my mind.
No, some definite parallels with Betrayal, though. Yeah. There's a lot of the same themes.
But, you know, we did bring the speech.
Oh, good. Well, I'd love to hear the speech.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to do the speech. Does it need to be set up, Anne, at all?
Oh, yeah. They're having a little dispute, husband and wife, over meaning, words, language. What would you say in terms of preparing?
And what quality writing is all about.
We all want to know that.
And he happens to have a cricket bat. And that's why it's the speech, because it's about the cricket bat and language. So whenever you're ready.
Great, wonderful. Well, this is Grant Goodman doing a monologue from The Real Thing in Austin Shakespeare's production.
Shut up and listen. This thing here, which looks like a wooden club, is actually several pieces of particular wood cunningly put together in a certain way so that the whole thing is sprung. Like a dance floor. it's for hitting cricket balls with. If you get it right, the cricket ball will travel 200 yards in 4 seconds, and all you've done is give it a knock, like knocking the top off a bottle of stout, and it makes a noise like a trout taking a fly. What we're trying to do is right cricket bats, so that when we throw up an idea and give it a little knock, it might travel. Now, what we've got here is a lump of wood, roughly the same shape, trying to be a cricket bat. And if you hit a ball with it, the ball will travel about 10 feet, and you will drop the bat and dance about shouting ouch with your hands stuck into your armpits. This isn't better because someone says it's better, or because there's a conspiracy by the MCC to keep cudgels out of Lords. It's better because it's better. You don't believe me, so I suggest you go out to bat with this and see how you get on. Oh, you're a strange boy, Billy. How old are you? 20. But I've lived more than you'll ever live. Ouch! Ouch, 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 ouch!
Oh my God, that's okay, that so much awesome fun. And you like, you were telling
it was
Nicole
a
that whole thing.
Yeah, that was all good, about it.
That was great.
I like that.
This boy has that's an important ego, does he?
I love it.
Seems like he has an ego.
Oh,
sure. He does. He's definitely usually thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, but he learns through the play that he's not, and that he's still got a lot to learn.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it seems like it's. I'm going to guess this is like a nice fast pace kind of idea that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, that sells it for me. when do y'all open?
We open next Friday, the 17th.
The 17th. And play
and then we
when?
Run through March 5th.
Plenty of time to see it. Are you at the Rollins?
We are at the beautiful Intimate, as we say.
I was
the
very together. Intimate. I love that
the
space.
Inter Rollins.
The Inter-Rollins?
So that is great. How are things going so far?
Good, good. We're excited.
We've got a great cast. Yeah. Oh, my heavens, yeah.
Is there anybody else? Is there any of the design team that you want to highlight?
Sure. Or? Well, Aaron Kubacek is doing costumes and having a blast. You know, I love when you can say to an actor, grow your mustache like Tom Selleck.
Or grow out your sideburns.
Right. So we're Patrick Anthony is doing both set and lights.
Lovely.
So we're excited. Well, that's cool.
Well, that's good. Well, best of luck. I am looking forward to seeing it, as I have never seen the play or read it.
And you know, we love to do the talk back after the show.
We know you do.
So
you
we do a 10-minute conversation after with every show and audience after every performance. Okay.
Oh wow. That's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
And there's like three Stoppard professors in our area. So they're all coming to do a little bit of it on one night.
Oh, are they going to be part of the talk back?
Yeah.
In the Austin area?
John Fleming, James Lolan, and Eric Kalari. And we're excited.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, thank y'all both for coming on the show. And I look forward to seeing it.
In your chock full, chunky.
We had a chock full show today.
We did, but it was a lot of fun, and it was like very different. There's something for everyone today.
Yeah. Well, so thanks again.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you at the Rollins.
All right.
That was Ann Ciccolella and Grant Goodman of Austin Shakespeare's production of The Real Thing, playing February 17th through March 5th at the Rollins. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. We will be right back.
I believe in marriage, the ordinary kind. Baby carriage marriage, the time.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air. We had a kind of a crazy backwards
that was
show.
Fun stuff.
Let's just very quickly in our last 5 minutes go back and talk about our local stuff that's happening.
Yeah, there is some stuff.
There is some stuff.
And it is happening.
It is indeed.
Right now. Right now.
So I did this so quickly, so I may not have a.
I didn't even look at your list.
I may not have a very good list, but we're still going with front.
Chock full.
We're still in the middle of Frontera Fest.
Yes, we are.
We have Cinderella over at Zach Theater.
Yes,
which you and I are going to see
on
Thursday.
Going on a field trip. Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow.
Yes. So looking forward to seeing that. As
Me
a reminder,
too.
Folks, this production of Cinderella, which I'm not sure whether we're going to get on the show, but it is done both in English and American Sign Language.
Correct.
Which, if for no other reason, is a worthy reason to go see it.
A Zach Theater, Duff Austin Theater mm-hmm. production.
Yep. And so that's very good. And we have the last weekend for In the Beginning, which I'm going to see on Saturday night.
Oh,
That's Gracklejack, who was with
right?
us 2 weeks ago. Yep. The Stage Austin, a one-night thing. I don't remember what night it is. I did not write the date down on this, but it's Wendy and Michelle Ruin Valentine's Day.
I forgot what date
and
it
just,
is, too, so I don't
want to
say the wrong
You can go on
one.
To atxtheater.org to find out. The last 5 years has happened at TexArts. Through the 26th of this month. It opens on the 10th. It hasn't opened yet. Southwest Theater Productions over at Trinity Street Theater is doing the Poetry Shift.
That's just fun to say.
It is. And it's playing also opening on the 10th through March 4th.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then I've got to sidle over to my computer right now.
Because are you going to give us... Today in theater history, stuff happened.
Yes,
stuff
thank you for doing
happened.
That. Nicole just covered me walking away from the microphone to get my computer.
Lisa's going to tell us about that stuff.
Yep, so here's the deal. The show, Finishing Touches, opened in 1973. I can't tell what theater it was at, but that's where it was. In 1956, Middle of the Night opened. It looks like it may be starring James Cagney.
Oh.
If I'm going by the picture on the playbill.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
And then in 1954, The Immoralist opened.
Oh, that's a story about
And finally, in 1940, Two for the Show. And of course, the playbill.
Why do I feel like Two for the Show is something I know?
Because it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. In 1931, one James Dean was born.
Wow.
It's also the birthday of Bernard Telsley and Enid Graham. Robert Klein's birthday is today.
Oh, wow.
I actually saw him in Same Time Next Year.
Talented.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Lemmon, born the same
year
as my father, 1925. And Sherry Renee Scott.
Today's Sherry Renee Scott.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
It is.
I like
amazing.
Her.
Yeah, I do too.
I do too. Yeah.
She's done so many different things. So,
like just wide variety of things and nothing, you know, a lot of times actresses, I don't want to say you're pigeonholed, but you play a lot of the same type of energetic and same vocal range and same... Yeah, she doesn't. She's really all over the spectrum.
Speaking of pigeonholed, something we were going to talk about before, we really don't have time to get into it, but I found it very interesting. There's a show called The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window, which is going to be starring Rachel Brosnahan and, oh God, I forgot his name.
I don't know.
But it's a Lorraine Hansberry show that played back in the 60s for just 100 performances. It's supposed to be an amazing show, but what was interesting, since none of us, very few people have heard of it, and then when I heard that Rachel Brosnahan was doing it, my first reaction was, well, she's not black, because Lorraine Hansberry wrote Raisin in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the problems with it. They had her pigeonholed as a black playwright. This show is not a black
no.
people. And they said that one of the things in this article was, that's probably what did it in, because she was pigeonholed into people thinking that she
that's
just
all
writes
she could
for
write
black
about.
Performers. Yeah, which just
How
made
about,
me sad.
She writes about humans, people.
She writes about humans.
Humans, people.
But that's the that's where it's hard.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've seen all that. I've seen a lot of, I can see the gentleman's face too from all the promo images, and I'm so sorry I cannot think of
well,
his
I already
name
closed
either.
The computer. It would be in here, but everybody's heard of him. And then while we're talking about that, also that you can find on offstageonair.com once I post the show, is the trailer to New York, New York. Have you seen that yet?
Yes, the Lin-Manuel come hang out with my...
No, Lin-Manuel wasn't in the trailer.
New York, New York, the new...
Yeah, yes, I know, he's writing it.
And I know, but that's Kander not in... coming together to right, write their new thing. That's
right, but that's
about.
Not in the trailer.
I didn't say he was in the trailer.
Oh, okay, I thought you said. Yeah, so the trailer
like,
is...
the new Lin-Manuel meet Kander.
Yeah.
That's huge. It's Fred Ebb and Kander and them coming
back. Yeah, I know who
it's
they
huge.
Are. Okay. Anyway, I recommend watching the trailer. It is not a... It's more of a cinematic trailer than a theatrical trailer. So it's like when I watched it, I was saying to myself, I kind of want to see this movie. And then I realized it's not for a movie.
But it was a movie.
But not this. It's a whole different plot than the movie.
I know. But yeah. I'm saying, but it, that's where it all came from, which is so interesting.
I love, and I would encourage folks to check out the soundtrack to the movie, which starred Liza Minnelli and
Robert De Niro.
And it's where the song New York, New York came from. And
which apparently we owe to one Bobby De Niro, according
correct,
to Kander and
yeah,
Ebb.
We have talked about that on this show several mm-hmm. times. What was I going to say? No, I lost my train of thought. Oh,
you like
anyway,
the movie.
The soundtrack is just amazing. Mm-hmm. I like the movie okay. It's kind of it gave me a little too much of a, what was the movie? Just the remake that had,
I don't know which remake. Didn't Scorsese do it and it was all during his crazy
Scorsese.
Coked out 80, yeah. 84, 85 years.
But anyway, I'm going to come up with the name of this movie and you're going to laugh at me for not remembering it. Lady Gaga, was it just in the latest remake?
Oh, The House of Gucci?
No, the latest remake. Judy
Star
Garland,
is Born.
Star is Born. Thank you. It has a very Star is Born
Yeah, it does.
Vibe
yeah,
it,
you're right.
The movie. So let's just take a super short little break. We'll listen to Sherry Renee Scott singing
yes!
Island from Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. We'll be right back.
Good choice.
I wanted exactly what you did. An island for two in the clouds. With gas and electric included. Floating above all the noise of the city. Away from the traffic and crowd.
Well, we've just about made up our entire hour.
We did, and then some. We could talk forever. So many things.
We could talk forever. I was just going to let that music play underneath, but it just dawned on me that I really want people to hear the song that we're going
to
go out
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I was about to say, I really kind of saw what you chose for your last... So, yeah, please yep. play that. Let's stop
so
talking.
So we're just about done. Austin Common Radio Hour, the Silver Mike Award-winning show is coming up next with John Hoffner. What you got going, John?
A little bit more about the legislature that is in session now. We're going to be talking about advanced power and how what kind of bills might affect solar and wind power.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a lot
wonderful.
Of bills.
Well, we just have time to say goodbye.
We do.
We're going to play from a album that just came out, a cast album that just came out. This is a song called MacGyver.
From?
MacGyver the Musical.
Yeah, or in Germany, as they would say.
Das Musical.
Yes.
We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
It's 1989 and the month is November.